All right, my name's Elena Garcia. I farm beef cattle up near Chinchilla. I've got no pretty pictures, but I have an awful large amount of words. So, Australian farming is in crisis. It is under attack from the corporations. In the past few years, private investors backed by corporate interests like global banks, financial firms, hedge funds and food giants have bought a huge amount of farmland. The World Bank has boosted its finance of intense large-scale agriculture in the global south from $2.5 billion a year in 2008 to $9.5 billion in November 2012, and it's affected all of us. These investments are being used by corporations to buy up prime food-producing land, just as free trade treaties come into play that will allow them to sue governments that affect their profits by attempting to regulate their use of that land. Big Ag is loving it. In Australia, this process of expropriating family farmers for corporate agribusiness takeovers is being carried out as a multi-pronged corporate attack by banks, corporate raiders, mining companies, and by the supermarket duopoly of Coles Woolworths, which keeps prices cheap for consumers by contracting producers to prices too low to make a profit or even barely to cover costs. The $1 a litre milk war is a classic example. It caused a wave of family farmers to exit the industry and brought the dairy industries in West Australia and regional Queensland to their knees, much to the advantage of Gina Rinehart, Jerry Harvey and other corporate raiders who have bought dairy farms at bargain prices. Rinehart is now switching to intensively farming dairy cows and has the funds to build processing plants that can process and export the dairy products to the expanding middle classes of Asia and take advantage of a demand for a clean product that has seen prices rise to up to $6 a litre overseas. At the same time, there is increasing speculation in buying water rights. Farming cannot survive without clean water. The most reliable source of water is artesian water, which the mining industry can draw from unregulated and pollute at will. Meanwhile, the bankers are foreclosing on drought-struck farmers, so they can sell the still viable farms to corporations, both domestic and foreign. At a time when increasing climate catastrophes are hitting, farmers increasingly can't afford insurance and the banks don't offer affordable loans to rebuild. Some lenders were devaluing properties by up to 30%, forcing graziers to pay higher interest rates because the loans were now considered higher risk. As the demand for Australian farm products skyrockets in Asia, corporate Australia is buying up drought-crippled but viable rural properties at bargain prices. Bob Catter moved legislation in November 2015 to force banks to allow farmers 2 years to sell foreclosed properties instead of forcing six-week fire sales. Catter cited sources in the agricultural industry on forced bank sales, saying with only 2 months to sell, a farmer would be lucky to get 40% of market value for that property. But with 2 years to sell, a farmer could expect to obtain 80% of market value. The legislation would also stop banks forcing confidentiality agreements that presently allow them to bully their victims, with a range of dirty tricks now being investigated by a Senate banking inquiry. Action is being mounted in the federal court, alleging that the ANZ Bank forced farmers into engineered defaults and had entrapped them into signing changed loan contracts when it bought out the loan book of the Landmark Group in 2009. Banks are using the present 3-year drought in Western Queensland to foreclose on properties which have not fallen behind in their payments, and using the confidentiality agreements to prevent debtors from speaking up. Quote, financial institutions have historically exercised untrammeled and unrestrained powers by their superior bargaining position when dealing with people in default of their loans, Catter said. And there would be few people in Australia, let alone in this parliament, who would not be aware of what is taking place in rural Australia. When I say rural Australia, there are 4,500 empty houses in Mackay, and between Dysart, Moranbah and Charters Towers, there are another 1,000 empty houses. Father Matt Maloney, a priest in charge at Longreach, spoke out in Queensland Country Life in 2015 about what he described as unfair action by banking representatives. His claims that 46 properties around Longreach, Muddaburra and Torrens Creek were being repossessed by banks generated an overwhelming response. People have rung from north of Longreach down to Roma. It's happening not just here, it's happening in the Granite Belt. I was talking at a parishioner near Rockhampton who told me people on eight places around him were being forced off. There are people on properties out there living on Weet-Bix and noodles. This corporate bullying has a terrible social cost. Lifeline figures show that when a severe drought hits and persists in a rural community and financial and emotional stress levels climb, suicide rates increase sixfold. Queensland Lifeline director was quoted in The Australian in February 2014. This has been a very rapid moving drought and its ferocity has caught a lot of people off guard and in real financial stress, needing money to pay for food for the table, fuel for the car, electricity for their properties and feed or water for their stock. Just last week the cattle price fell again and we experienced a very bad suicide where a farmer was told his 400 cattle that were ready to go to market were too emaciated to be put on a truck and sold. So he shot them all and then himself. Canada wants the federal government to buy back the debt from struggling farmers and the Queensland government to allow drought-stricken graziers to access underground artesian water, the water the mining industry has unregulated, unlimited access to. There might be 10,000 head of cattle dying the most cruel death of starvation as we talk now, said Catter, but the greatest tragedy in this story is that we estimate that one farmer every 4 weeks is taking their life. Farmers cannot win this battle against the corporations without allies. Australia is one of the most urbanised countries on earth. 89% of Australians live in urban areas. We have some of the cleanest, most regulated food production in the world. If you want to protect that quality, it is time to support and protect our farmers. If you want even better agriculture, the best thing you can do is change your attitude. Too many of the 89% of urban Australians believe that farmers are the sole cause of land clearing and do not see the concrete and lawn sprawl of suburbia covering the best farmland in Australia like a creeping disease. It is a terrible fact that retiring farmers have few choices if they want a decent price to retire on, but to sell their land to developers, to subdivide, or to foreign or domestic corporations. And it becomes a crying shame when I see in Facebook all these people screaming about these farmers who are selling to foreign corporations. They're getting no prices from anybody else. We really need a land trust sponsored by the government to buy fertile farmland at a decent price so farmers can retire in comfort and keep it reserved for farming use by young farmers and cooperatives to supply the present and future domestic food needs of Australia. If cities and towns need to expand, spread up or down, not outwards like giant cancers. Our politicians come from these land developers or from lawyers paid by corporations. And until we change this and put some principled, decent people with real life experience in there and spell out the specific changes we want and show that we won't shut up until we get them and that we will recall them if they breach their promises, then we can't expect anyone's interests to be protected in government except those of the super wealthy who give the big donations. Farmers are disillusioned by all the major parties. None are tackling the big issues. Dozens of new rural parties have been created at the moment. However, even if every single rural voter voted for just one of these parties, with only 11% of Australians being rural, they could never form a government. What is needed is a manifesto of constructive solutions that can be taken to every candidate across the country, whether independent or in a party, do you get a commitment of support for those policies with an accountability clause to allow a recall vote by constituents if they break their commitments. An Australian Leap Manifesto. Yeah. We need state-owned rural banks that provide long-term low-interest loans for general rural production, supporting sustainable farm practices and water infrastructure. We need state-owned rural insurance programs to enable farmers and rural communities to survive the increasingly severe and frequent climate events without crippling insurance premiums. And these demands were reflected in Rob Tatter's recommendations out of the 123 submissions to the Queensland Rural Debt and Drought Task Force, along with a demand for a royal commission into financial practices which would force the banks to answer, because the banks just said, we don't care what you ask us, we're not going to tell you. We need a few more things, but I have to cut it. Now is the time to listen and help. First, understand the crisis. To save our food security, to save our sustainable family farming from corporate family farming, we need constructive solutions, rather than criticism from the sidelines from those with no experience of the challenges faced in the bush. Many rural Australians hate the Greens, despite many of their policies being better than the major parties, because too many of their policies still show their ignorance of rural problems and their arrogance over rural experience. Farmers are environmentalists. They farm for their children, not for the quick buck. Farmers and agricultural businesses, according to the 2009-10 ABS figures, manage 52% of the Australian environment. If they don't manage it sustainably, they go broke very fast. They are on call 24/7. They have to rescue themselves in trouble. They may make a profit, but they seldom make a wage. It costs a lot more to live out there. There are approximately 134,000 farm businesses in Australia, 99% of which are family owned and operated, and as of 2010-2011, they employ only 307,000 people to manage 417.3 million hectares, including the 4.6% of Australia that is marginal land. And marginal land is where poor quality vegetation and bushfire fuel is converted by livestock into high quality human edible protein. I'm going to have to ask for an extension, I run out of time.
So I'll just let people know where we're up to. It's 5:20 now, we're due to finish at 5:45.
Want to hear more?
Yeah. So we've got basically the decision to make whether we can keep our discussion time a little bit shorter or we'll give another 5 minutes.
I can try.
All those in favour of another 5 minutes? Any against?
Thank you. All right. The 2013-14 white paper showed that agriculture contributed $51 billion, 2% of GDP, and accounted for 15% of our merchandise exports. More than half the continent is under agriculture in one form or another. Yet the value of Agricultural Operations Bureau of Statistics shows 40% of Australian farms earn below $50,000 a year. In a recent survey of 93 family farms, 48% were living on additional wages drawn from outside the farm, 12% had ceased operation due to low farm gate prices, and 35% were considering leaving the farming industry due to low farm gate prices. The dairy industry is in complete crisis. People know the Murray Golden stuff. Milk price cuts don't just affect the dairy farmers either. It has a flow-on effect for whole communities. It affects the farmers that supply the forms of feed to dairy farms, as the dairy farmers have the choice of either not buying feed, selling cows, which means cuts to their present and future income, or selling the farms to corporations. Big Ag is moving in, and this is the real threat to animal welfare. Family farmers are being replaced by factory farming. Many farms overseas have been switching to factory farming, getting much bigger and more intensive. In the Persian Gulf, there's a farm hosting a herd of 67,000 cows in a shed. In America, 37,000 cows meet milked 800 at a time, 23 hours a day. Because if you put the cows in a shed, the food's brought to them, it conserves their energy for milk production. They don't waste any energy on staying cool or warm or grazing or walking to the dairy. They just stay in their shed and eat their hay. Large herds and houses systems remain a rarity in Australia, but in the past 2 years there's been a flurry of investment in factory farming in our $13 billion dairy sector from Gina Reinhart, Jerry Harvey and their cronies. Australian fruit and vegetable crop growers have also been squeezed out as cheap imports drive down prices. Food processing has been bought out by foreign corporations. Master Foods, Golden Circle and SPC have been bought up by US corporations like Heinz and Coca-Cola Amatil. The Australian food processing plants that provided farmers with an alternative market to Coles, Woolies controlled fresh fruit and vegetable sales have been closed down and relocated overseas to poorer wages and conditions. SPC is basically the only major processor left, and Coca-Cola Amatil, who now own it, severely cut supplies and quantities, forcing the mass bulldozing of orchards as farmers just can't afford the maintenance costs to keep them pest-free. Jobs in many jobs in rural and regional areas have been destroyed, food miles greatly increased, and cheap, poor-quality imports are used to replace previously Australian-grown and processed high-quality product. The livestock industry is reeling from the worst drought in Queensland history, interspersed with record-devastating floods, combined with plagues of feral animals that destroy destocked pastures and rip up and erode catchments, sending our topsoil out to the reef. The closure of regional abattoirs, followed by the banning of the live export trade, meant that farmers could not sell their stock and were forced to choose between keeping them to strip their pastures, shooting them, or spending crippling amounts to move stock hundreds or thousands of kilometres by truck down south, as the railways have been sold to the mining companies and just move coal now. We need to bring down the cost of freight and revitalise our rural communities by renationalising and expanding the railways. We need to put the priority back on agricultural products, on rail, rather than mining products. Bring back night trains for moving livestock and keep the West Australian freight lines open for farming, not mining. Minimise the trucks on our roads. Most farmers haven't had a wage rise in 40 years since Whitlam abolished the marketing boards that set minimum prices. What it will take for farmers to be able to continue is reliable profitability. It's hard with little control over input prices and output prices. Now we have a perfect storm of farm debt of more than $17 billion, increasing climate disasters and corporations keen to move in and bring in American big ag, GM crops and methods like spraying glyphosate on grain prior to harvest to speed up the harvest. If we don't want to use these unsustainable methods to bring down farmers' costs, we need to reduce these costs by policies like supplying a farm labour force, paid award wages, transported and insured by the federal government, a land army. This would reduce unemployment, supply farm labour to farmers desperate for it, and bring a crucial injection of wages for those labourers to spend in rural communities. We need to encourage the establishment of farmer-owned rural cooperatives in areas such as purchasing and marketing produce. These bodies have an impressive history in rural Australia. We need to establish a national milk pool to put in a floor price. All milk would be sold through the pool and processors would bid for milk at a price at least set at a fair price, but if demand was higher or their product mix allowed, would need to bid higher to secure supply. It would be based on a farmer-owned co-op where each supplier has only one share and one vote, as opposed to the public float of the Murray Goulburn Co-op to raise money for processing infrastructure. The government should be investing super funds in processing and infrastructure upgrade for national food security instead of encouraging sell-offs of farms, ports and railways to multinational corporations who are major competitors to our industries. Feral animals. You can be fined $60,000 for not controlling feral animals on Weebull properties. And yet, the national parks, they're cutting the rangers that control these creatures. What we need is assistance to set up, to turn it into a new income source, to process, set up new industries of mobile abattoirs to process livestock on farm, to process feral carcasses in remote areas into food, fertiliser, felt, hides and maggot meal, substitute for unsustainable fish meal. And we need people to support buying these products. At the same time that farmers can be fined $60,000 for contributing to land degradation, under gas and mining companies can bulldoze pipelines and roads across creeks, put in quarries where they want, dump poison into dams, aquifers and plastic bags in landfill. The overflow of toxic water from 50,000 abandoned mines is also poisoning our drinking and farming water. Keep going.
We've got 15 minutes
left. All right. Clean fresh water is our greatest natural resource. Industries that pollute our water catchments and groundwater must be stopped immediately and liable for all costs of cleaning up all past pollution by the industry. Landholders need incentives to protect streamside vegetation because our freshwater ecosystems are among the most threatened ecosystems that we have. It includes payments to fence out animals and replant vegetation alongside better farm and land management. Rather than the public or farming, the mining industry should be levied to pay all costs to clean up that toxic mess. Subsidised farming will also help end overgrazing. Subsidised fencing will also help end overgrazing and assist in fire management to reduce the one-third of Australia's total emissions which are released by wildfires. Barry Cohen commented in 2011, among the millions of words spoken and written about carbon emissions, the fact that a third of Australia's emissions come from wildfires is never mentioned. A great deal of emphasis has been placed by some on the contribution of livestock to Australia's methane emissions. Yet the role that grazing livestock plays in reducing wildfires is never factored into these emissions, and the huge fugitive methane emissions of the mining industry are unmentioned and unmeasured. Mixed native perennial pasture has the ability to build carbon from the atmosphere into the soil by colonies of symbiotic root fungi, increasing the carbon in soil by 15 times. It's killed by superphosphate and fungicides. But if you can be subsidised to change over from depending on those things, then grass-eating ruminants can help build and cool soil and sequester carbon. So, if you support and eat free-range, grass-fed, holistically grazed meat, you can help save the planet.